Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We praise you, Lord, for all that you did. Thank you for this wonderful time that we're in, Lord. Glory be to God. I have never seen so much action out of the spiritual realm as I have in the last little bit. And I praise you, Father, for keeping us plugged in to the Word of God, plugged into wisdom and discernment, plugged into everything that you, Lord. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be awesome because you're going to lead us and guide us into the things that you'd like for us to speak about and talk about and to open up the Word of God into new revelations, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for all that's accomplished through your Spirit, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name, we always want to walk and talk and think nothing but through the Spirit, Lord, in the days ahead of us. Because, man, it's just some mighty things fixing to happen. And we praise you, we glorify you, Father, for placing us in the right place at the right time with the right thoughts and the right words. And we'll do that as long as we are led by your Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the promises also that you've given us in your word. And when we speak those promises, things happen. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for an open heaven that we have also, Lord. That when we pray, we know that our prayers are answered. Because we all come in here in one accord with great and bold faith to believe what your word says. That when we pray and we believe what we pray, we're going to receive it. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory be to God. We just praise you, Father, because you're worthy of our praises. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right. Well, it's good to see everybody again. Has anybody got a prayer request? Anybody got a praise report? Anybody got a psalm? Anybody got a song? Remember what the Lord told us, don't you? When you come together, I'm just saying. Go ahead, Benjamin.
Well, it isn't a song, but I got a bit of a story, testimony, I guess you could say. So, Jake and I finally communed together for a Bible study, finally. And there are some things that he doesn't necessarily agree with. He has a hard time understanding perfection in Christ, how by faith we're supposed to see forward in faith that we're perfected and all that. I showed him the verses that we need to claim that perfection now, but he has a hard time seeing that. And I'm like, well, I can't prove it to you. And it was tongues. He has a hard time. I think he just had a bad experience one time with tongues. So I guess I'll ask for prayer for him because he went to a Pentecostal church and they were kind of doing the whole screaming and hollering thing with their tongues. And I guess he was just very hesitant for it at first and it kind of scared him off it. And then he had another bad experience with that church specifically. So I think it kind of deterred him from it totally. And he just thinks that tongues is for when you don't speak, like in Acts, when Pentecost came and it was only when it was the people's native language when the apostles had the tongues. You know what I'm talking about? Like the people that were
Yeah.
there that knew that could interpret it like by the flesh. He thinks that's the only time when tongues are supposed to be. And then I showed him some verse in Romans chapter 8 where it's just like the tongue speaking in the spirit clears our infirmity or something. It's in chapter 8, verse 20 something, I think. So I think he's catching on to it, but I think he's still a little hesitant about it. So I'll ask for a little bit of prayer on that. I've prayed for him already, so I'm asking if someone else could do it for me.
Okay. We'll pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. What's this boy's name?
Jake.
Jake. Lord, we lift up Ben's friend, Jake, to you. We break the power of this religious dogma off of him right now in Jesus' name. He's been hurt by false religion. And I understand that. I've seen a lot of people in that respect. But we break off all powers of the enemy to keep him from coming into the fullness of the Spirit. And we praise you, Father, that the next time that Ben and Jake get together, that he'll be able to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Because remember what Paul said. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. And he didn't do that just because he was Paul. He did it because what the Word of God says about it. Lord, we thank you that you're going to open up his eyes to see that tongues is of the Spirit. It's actually an entry into the spiritual realm. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. One of the spiritual realms, anyway. And we thank you, Father, that when he gets ready to receive, that he's going to receive immediately and get a full language right off the bat in Jesus' name. And the next time we come together and him and Jake get together, Ben and Jake get together, we're going to hear the good report. We praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for doing that for Jake. Glory
Thank you,
be to
Father.
God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. I believe it, Ben. I believe he's going to receive the next time because he's going to get some clarity when he's reading about
Amen.
it. Amen. All right, Missy.
I have a song, but Geneva has something that she wants to say. She can go ahead.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Geneva, go ahead.
Hi guys. I'm a little shaken up right now because sorry, I'm not trying to be emotional. I actually just got off the phone with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, but we're me and her both pregnant, and sorry, they just found out that they just lost the baby. And she's gonna have to deliver the baby at the hospital. And I just been kind of crying. The whole family's really upset. So I just wanna pray for them because they've been through this before. And they're so happy to have a little boy. And I just, Lord, if you can do something, Father, Lord, bring this baby back.
How far along is she, Geneva? Let's do what God wants us to do.
She's right around 17, 18 weeks.
Okay.
So,
You want us to pray for the baby, or do you want us to pray for the mama?
for both of them.
Okay. I feel like we need to pray life into that baby.
Amen. Amen.
All right. What's her name?
Savannah.
Lana,
Savannah.
Savannah. Okay. In the name of Jesus right now, I command life into that baby of Savannah's right now. I command that life to come back. I command that heart to start beating. I command that baby to be perfectly normal in the name of Jesus. To your glory, Lord. To your glory, we command life back into that baby of Savannah's. In Jesus' name, that baby will come out perfectly healthy. Mom's going to be fine, and that baby's going to grow up to be a great little baby and a baby of God. Let her give it to you, Father, and I praise you, Father, that that baby is alive. Savannah's baby, come alive now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that the heartbeat is already started. And I praise you, Father, for that. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Lord, it's not about us. It's about you and your glory and your life-giving power, Lord. And I praise you, Father, for bringing that little soul back to mama in Jesus' mighty name. thank you, Father. It is done. And I believe it, and I thank you for it, Father. Does anybody else believe with me? Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
I believe.
All right. Glory be to God.
Thank you, God. Thank you for that heartbeat, Lord.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Oh, my mama. Yep. She'll feel that baby moving, and she'll run to the hospital. That doctor will say, there ain't nothing wrong with that baby. That baby's back alive. Glory to God. To the glory of God. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Ooh, my. I feel the Holy Spirit all in. That baby's alive. Yes. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Anna. In the name of Jesus. Anna says, in the name of Jesus, we command all spirits of pain, fear, and grief to go from them right now in Jesus' name, and start glorifying God that the baby is. Are they Christians? Doesn't make any difference, but are they Christians?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Okay. Do they believe in healing?
I know they believe in healing, but I don't know if they really profess it as much.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Okay. Well, she will after today. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Honor.
Woo, my. Write that down, Ben, because that baby's fixing to come back to life for Mama Savannah. I believe it. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. I wish Katie was in here so she could give that testimony. Is she in there? Oh, there you are. Hey, Katie.
Hey.
Tim, how are y'all?
Bless.
All right. Yes, you are. He's got. You want to give that testimony that you sent to me the other day?
Of course. So, back in October, we all had prayed for my cousin who was struggling with infertility. And as we were praying, Michael got a word from the Lord, and he said, in 11 months, she will have a baby. And he had said, I don't know why not 9 months, but I heard 11 months. So I wrote that down. And lo and behold, she is pregnant with twins, and she's due in September. So that's 11 months from October.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. She's going to have a family all in one pregnancy. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to lift her up in prayer right now, too, because she's been having a really hard time. She's been struggling with tons of just nausea and not feeling good at all and a bunch of anxiety. So I'm just going to lift her up right now. Father God, I just come to you in the name of Jesus, and I lift up my cousin Elena to you right now, Lord, and I just pray that you would just take away this nausea and this weakness, Lord, and that you would comfort her and take away that anxiety, and that all of this would bring her closer and closer to you, because I know she started praying again during the infertility, and I know that this testimony is going to just give you so much glory, God, and she's going to be rejoicing. And all of this is working together for your good, Lord, for her to come home to you, Lord, to know you again, and to truly have that relationship with you. So I just pray right now that she would just turn to you in this time of not feeling great, Lord, that she would seek you for comfort, and that you would give it to her, that you would just take away that pain and that sickness and that weakness and that anxiety, and that there would just be great rejoicing throughout all of this pregnancy from here on out, in Jesus' name.
Amen. We all believe with you that she's going to have a fine pregnancy. No pain whatsoever. In Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Woo, my. Yeah, Geneva?
I wanted to actually ask for prayer, too, and I believe what Katie just prayed over myself, because good news. Thank you, Jesus. We found out that we're having a baby boy. So praise the Lord. That's pretty special. I had a girl, now we're having a boy, and Morgan's really happy. And so I'm thankful for that. They did say that, but it doesn't matter what they said, you know, because I know who my God is. And they did say that my placenta was kind of in front of the baby, but they said usually these things resolve on their own. But I know in Jesus' name, I've already prayed and spoke over it and told it to get in place and to get where it needs to be. So praise the Lord, that's already done. So Ben, you can write that down too. That's done in Jesus' name.
Yep. Amen.
So anyways, I'm not even going to speak about the rest because it's done. So praise you, Father. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that all of the babies that are in the womb right now on this ministry, loved ones and mamas on here, Lord, I just thank God that you have your angels and your Holy Spirit around these babies and you're guarding these children, Lord. And that, Father, they are children of God. And I thank you, Lord, for your blood protection. And I thank you, Jesus, that you've blessed us with bold faith. And Lord, we do not accept any evil reports or anything that's contrary to your word, Lord, because we know no plague can come nigh thy tent. And we also know, Father, that no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. And there is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. And Lord, I thank you, God, that you've given us the love of Jesus to be able to cast down all fear and to tell it to be gone. And we just pray and we believe that, God. And I just thank you, Lord, that all these babies are healthy. And we only accept the good report. In your name we pray, amen.
Yes, we just bless all the pregnant women and the babies too, in Jesus' name. I know they have to, sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, sometimes women get a little bit irritated at times, but I'm telling you, that's not going to happen, because they are of God and love just comes exuberating out of them. And we thank you for it, Father, with that little baby too. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God that all the women are going to have a wonderful pregnancy this day. Man, we got a bunch of women that's pregnant, don't we? Golly. We got two here, lovely. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Yeah. You'll look that one up. Julie, we'll play that. I would, but I can't watch it at the same time. It's a good song. Amen. Anybody else? Anna, you feeling okay, aren't you? Okay. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, Ben.
I thought Missy had a song.
Oh, Missy had a song. Yeah, come on, Missy, with it.
I Give You My Heart by Hillsong.
You did what?
I Give You My Heart by Hillsong.
Oh, I thought she was going to sing one.
Yeah, I thought you were going to sing. That's why I brought it up.
Okay. Well, I'll have to find it here. Give You My Heart. All right, let's see if we can do this. Hey, are y'all hearing some bad stuff in there? I hear it keeps skipping. Somebody say something. I can't see y'all. I'm looking at it.
It's skipping for me, Michael, but it's not like having any weird audio, just stopping.
Okay. Yeah. Let me find something else here. I heard that was skipping too, did y'all? Somebody else got it.
Have you got your, I don't know, VPN. Like your VPN on? That might be if it's,
okay.
It's overloaded or something.
Okay. You got that other one up yet, Julie? If you have.
Yeah, I do. You want me to play that one?
Yeah, until I can find this other one. Let me give you.
Do you share?
Okay, you got it. You got it.
In the middle of the storm, louder. I can't do it for you. There's a song written on your heart only you can sing. And when you sing, enemies flee. When you sing, prison walls come falling down. When you sing, heaven invades the earth. So just begin to lift up your hallelujah. Raise it like a banner.
Boy, I'll tell you, my audio is really bad. I'm going to have to get off and get back on. Andrew, you on here? Okay, I'm going to make you co-host and get off and come back on in just in a little bit because I'm going to have to shut down and come back on. What's up, Micah?
Oh, no.
Hey, girl. Okay, I'm going to get off. Andrew, you're in charge. Yes, you are. Andrew, what'd you do? I made you co-host, which should have left the recording going, but it didn't. Okay, that's probably my fault, Andrew. Okay, praise the God. Did everybody have good audio on that one? Okay, good. Because mine was going, it was just like this continuously. On, off, on, off, on, off. And I shut all my VPNs off, so I don't know what it was. It's gone now, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Missy, you're going to have to get your own. What do you mean, no?
I can't ever figure out how to do it. We don't have to play it. We don't have to play it.
Well, okay.
I can't ever figure out how to check the sound. Okay. We can do it another time.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. All right, has anybody else got something they'd like to share? Anybody got something they want to pray about? I'll tell you what, I was telling Julie earlier that the Lord has impressed upon us to read Proverbs chapter 1 through 4. Slowly meditating on it 4 times. That's wisdom and discernment. That's what that is. That's wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. The Lord tells us that's what we need. If y'all want to, we can read that tonight if you'd like, and we could kind of go through it. I know it's kind of instant, but we all have read it before. So it's Proverbs chapter 1 through 4. And David said, the Lord said to read it slowly, meditating on it, getting it in our spirit. And actually, I'm sorry?
Chapter 4.
What's that?
Mary? I got kicked off, Michael. What was the?
Okay, I think everybody got kicked off. I have made him co-host, Andrew co-host, but apparently it didn't take. That's what happens when you're going in and out, I guess. Proverbs chapter 1 through 4. Chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. The whole thing. And the Lord said to meditate on it, read it very slowly, get it in your spirit. And to do it 4 times. In other words, just like you would if you were studying something, meditating on it.
To do it 4 times, 40 times, what do you say?
4 times.
Okay.
40 times. 40 times. No, 4 times, man. I'm just kidding. Four times, very slowly. Okay. So I'm going to read probably we'll just go through it. Y'all want to go through it? And then you can, when you get on your own, do it yourself also. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. We all know who Solomon was. To know wisdom and instruction. To discern the words of understanding. To receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness and justice and equity. Debbie, you're on mute.
Hello, thank you.
To receive instruction, for those of you who just got on, we're doing Proverbs 1, chapters 1 through 4. And we're going, the Lord said, do it slowly, meditate on it, and to read it 4 times. I don't know why 4 times, but that's, the Lord's got a reason. You're unmuted also, Pat.
Sorry.
All right. To receive instruction. Oh, man, what's going on now? I just had a pop up. I command the devil to get out of here in Jesus' name. Get off my computer. Stay off of my computer. Leave it alone in Jesus' name. This is going to be a whole recording tonight in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father, that it is. Devil, you get off my computer right now. I ain't going to have you messing around with mine. You hadn't never done this before, so it's the devil. Get out of here in Jesus' name. Okay, verse 3, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness and justice and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion, that the wise man may hear and increase in learning, and that the men of understanding may attain unto sound counsels. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but the foolish despise wisdom and instruction. Okay, let's go back through here. Has anybody got any questions or any comments on what those seven verses we just got through reading right there are? Now, read them and think about them while I'm reading it. Any comments? Who was Solomon? Let's start out. Who was Solomon? Well, it says right there, the son of David, of Israel. And why is he giving us these proverbs? To know wisdom and instruction, and to discern the words of understanding. To receive instruction in wise dealings. In other words, you just make sure you're doing the right thing. In righteousness and justice and equity. And he also says to give prudence to the simple. Somebody tell me what prudence means. Yeah, man.
Proper behavior, I believe.
I'm right? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Proper behavior, or am I wrong?
Did you say proper behavior, or what did you say?
Yeah, that's what
proper
I said.
Proper behavior, okay, yeah. Okay, that's fine, that'll work. To the simple, who's the simple? The one that lacks understanding, is that the simple? Okay. Is anybody awake tonight? I'm just asking. I don't know. Okay, great. Praise God. Got some people that are. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. Who's the young man? The young man in Christ, you reckon? Yeah, Vanita?
I was just going to just make a comment on these first few verses. They just seem so almost like obvious. Yeah, we want wisdom and knowledge and discerning and truth. And it just seems so basic. But in this day and age, there's so much of the opposite. You just don't know what's right and wrong. And I mean, I just even just talking to my mom and dad about things, you know, just since I've become a Christian and the things that I've come to understand, I can't believe that I didn't know that or that they don't know that. You know, it's just, we get this wisdom and knowledge and understanding from the Lord and he just opens our eyes and praise the Lord. We just know the truth. We know what history means and it's all revealed. It just made no sense before. Now it all just fits together. It's like a puzzle. Click, click, click. It all just fits. So exciting.
Amen. Amen. Are they Christian yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. Well, they will be. Okay, yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Well, the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, and the teaching, these are all lights. The glory of God's knowledge and wisdom, understanding, and teaching. Instructions in there as teaching. They're in accordance to what it says in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. And if anyone listened to the study yesterday, David mentioned that. And but it's also the lights that are in the lamp that are in your temple. So these seven lights are the glory of God's knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and teaching, instruction. Of course, there's the fear of the Lord and the strength of the Lord and the life and the holiness of the Lord. So, which was the central light of that lamp that used to be in that physical temple, but now it's in you, because you're children of light. So this is the light for you. This is the light in your soul to be called the children of God. It's where you bear the fruit, and it's also the Word of God. So it's the table of showbread in your temple too. So where there was 12 loaves of bread, which I think represented the 12 tribes in the days of Israel, but now it's could be the 12 apostles. And anyway, so there is a food there. It's all from the Lord, of course. All the bread and all the glory is from the Lord. So glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Joe.
I would just add in verse 2, I would say it is to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the words of understanding. I would say to know wisdom, that's Jesus, and instruction is how the word applied to your life, how to live the word and discern. And the last part is to discern the words of understanding. You can get only from the Lord by obeying, loving, and make a priority in your life to read your word every day. That's all. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. Yes, that's correct. Go ahead, Missy.
I found a definition on prudence. Prudence implies caution in deliberating and consulting on the most suitable means to accomplish valuable purposes. Prudence differs from wisdom in this, that prudence implies more caution and reserve than wisdom, or is exercised more in foreseeing and avoiding evil than in devising and executing that which is good. It is sometimes mere caution or circumspection.
So put that in small words.
Using caution when you're going about to do something, and not just I guess just being spontaneous, you know, and just, you know, just being cautious when you go to do something.
Okay, so that would be, go ahead, Pat.
I think of the scripture that said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And that wise of serpents has the sense of being crafty, or which is kind of the negative sense, but it's also being discerning and looking to see what's behind the face of the obvious, or what are the potential motivations driving what I'm seeing, being more of a prudence, or that's what I'm thinking, especially after what Missy, how she responded. So.
Okay. Yeah, Julie, go ahead. Thank you, Pat.
I think in giving it in context to this verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. So somebody who would be simple, maybe just somebody who's inexperienced and young and doesn't have a lot of life experience yet. You know, because Solomon, you know, was the wisdom of, you know, he had the wisdom of God, right? And it's just, if you study these, to know wisdom and instruction and discernment and understanding, you know, it's going to teach somebody who's young and inexperienced. If you put these things in your heart, like we've been instructed to do, you know, that's going to stay with you, right? That's how I was reading that, you know, because you're cautious, you know, you're not just so, you know, it's, I guess it's being even humble to what God says and not thinking you know it all, like a you know, smarty pants teenager or something, you know.
Well, teenagers know everything.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, Vanita. You don't believe me, ask them.
In a different version, in the word of, in the place of prudent, that says to give insight to the simple. So kind of like Julie said, as you read the Proverbs, you gain insight.
Amen. So that's good. Yeah, that's good. Okay, anybody else? To the young man, knowledge and discretion, that the wise man may hear. I'm on Proverbs 1:5 now. That the wise man may hear and increase in learning. And that the man of understanding may attain unto sound counsels. Okay, what does all that mean? Let's look at it. That the wise man may hear and increase in learning. And that the man of understanding may attain unto sound counsel. Yeah, Ben.
I think of the new man that's within you. Like, he's the wise man is learning better. He learns better. He's increasing in learning. And he's understanding true doctrine. Understanding may attain unto sound counsels or true counsels or true doctrine. He can hear good doctrine, you know. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So he understands the true doctrine because of his increased learning. So he follows that and he understands that instead of those false doctrines that, that whoever talked, like whatever other doctrines other than the true one. That's what I see in it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
I was just thinking, I don't know where it is in the scriptures, but if you sit with wise men, you become wise. If you sit and listen to wise men, it's like you become like your teacher. And so it increases learning. You learn more. You get more wisdom by listening to wise counsel.
Amen. That's why we all learn, right? Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
So if you take that with verse 4, to give prudence, subtlety, or to the naive, I'm reading out of New American Standard, and to the youth, knowledge and discretion. And then couple that with a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. And I believe it has to do with will understand the difference between wise counsel and worldly counsel. And that discretion will, and that learning and knowledge acquired through the scripture, and especially through the Holy Spirit, will allow you to understand the counsel that you're receiving is either from the perspective of wisdom or what wisdom it is, the world's wisdom or God's wisdom. And quite frankly, you can learn, the Lord can teach you through both just as easily as not, as the other. And it's not so important whether or not you have a quote wise teacher above you as much as it is important to have the wisdom to understand or to perceive, the discretion to perceive whether that wise counsel is godly or earthly. And as long as you know which one it is, the Lord can teach you the same lesson through the same, through either example, so to speak. So that's all.
Amen. That's a good way of saying it, because if you're not in the Spirit, you're going to have limited knowledge. And you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to understand the things of the spiritual realm, the wisdom of the spiritual realm. You can't just rely on your sense knowledge or your flesh knowledge to understand the things of the Spirit. It ain't happening. You can see it in those books that the people that don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit put out. They put out garbage. Yeah, Andrew. Thank you, Pat.
Well, in chapter 13, right after the parable of the sower, it says, I'm just mentioning this word here, he that have ears to hear, let him hear, and eyes to see. You know, so everyone had eyes and ears in Jesus' day, but they didn't have spiritual ears or eyes. It actually says this same verse at the end of every one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And it's actually a verse in chapter 13 of the end time happening, and he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Something along that line anyway. So you need the spiritual ears. You need the spiritual sight to see these things, to pertain as to how to bring stuff over from the Old Testament into the New Testament, and how to understand that the whole New Testament is the spirit of the word. There are some allegories in it that you have to deduce, but you know, it is the spirit of the word. It's I think they use the word rhema. If you don't get a rhema, well, it's all a rhema, as if God was talking to you in the New Testament. So that's kind of scary for me, because you read a lot and you go, this is the word of God. For no word of God shall be void of power. And again, you know, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I was listening to this guy named Mueller from England, and sometimes he would pray for things and it came right at the last minute for his orphanage. And it was pretty amazing what he had to go through sometimes. And it sort of reflected. There was one day the kids were all waiting for food. All they had was jam. And the baker down the road said he woke up at 3 in the morning to make bread. And he came in with the bread and all the kids cheered. And that was kind of neat, because not only did the kids expect it and knew it was from the Lord, so did Mueller. It was expecting it at the last minute, and all the ones who were helping him run the orphanage. But this guy also, who is the baker, was being used by the Lord. And everything sort of works in so nicely when the Lord is involved in it all. It was very interesting what he did. And he opened the eyes of quite a bit of people to see that the Lord still works in the 1800s. So he must still work today too. So praise God. Glory to God.
What was his name, Andrew?
Mueller.
George Mueller. Yeah. I thought that's who you were talking about. You know, it's interesting that you brought that up. I had a good friend of mine, very good friend of mine, that ran men's homeless shelters. I had one over in Memphis one time, and he had men working in the kitchen, had men working in the house, cleaning it up. And the guy in the kitchen came in and said, "Boss, said we don't have any food. We're completely out. That's why we ain't got no money to buy none." He said, "Okay, well, let's pray. Come on, let's pray. All of us get together and let's pray." So he prayed, and he said, he prayed the prayer of faith to believe that they were going to have dinner or lunch. And all of a sudden, this guy comes busting in the door, throws $600 on the table and said, "I don't have a clue," and just cussing the blue streak, and said, "I don't have a clue why I'm doing this, but here, I got to do it to get some peace." Out the door he went. he was a drug dealer. And he couldn't figure it out. But that's the God that we serve. He'll use the devil to help us, won't he? That's fine. Go ahead, Anna.
I had a similar thing happen to us, I don't know, a few months ago. Obi had given all of his money and put it in the missionary box. So we have in the local, we have a little box for the missionaries so people can give anonymously. And, you know, whatever he had, it wasn't a whole lot, maybe $20 or something, but it was all his money and he put it in there. And then we were at Walmart standing in line and this man comes up behind me and it's like, "Ma'am, ma'am." And I look over there and this guy was like tattooed, you know, with the big gauges in his ears, and he looked like a druggie. And I don't know if he was or not, but he looked rough, or at least like he'd had a rough life. And he's like, "Ma'am, ma'am." And I'm like, "Yeah, you know, like what's going on? I didn't realize he was talking to me." And he starts digging through his pockets and pulling out every bill that he had, and they were all wadded up. He's like, "Can I give these to the kids?" And I'm just like, "Sure, thank you." And I'm just kind of like in shock, and he just disappears. And I saw him later, but he just walks off. That's all he wanted to do. And I unfolded it. It was like, you know, it was $8, but it seemed like it was all he had. And so we're just kind of sitting there in shock. Like, what just happened? And Obi's like, oh, this is because I gave my money and God's giving it back. And he was so excited, but it was just amazing because this guy just came out of nowhere, didn't know us from anybody. And just, you know, multiplied that money back to Obi. So it was so cool. Such a testimony for Obi and of course, Elisha. So praise God.
Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Lord. He's teaching those kids of hers. I'm telling you, they are just awesome. She sent me a video the other day of Obi and Elisha having spiritual warfare and just attacking the enemy, praying in tongues. That was so awesome. That was so awesome. Okay, go ahead, Geneva.
I was going to say that my mom, she's a pretty giving woman for somebody who doesn't have a whole bunch. Like, she'll give the shirt off her back to me, Isaac, or Nathan. And, you know, she's got her ways, which we're believing the Lord's healed her and all that, but anyway, she always kind of does without. And she knows if she comes over to my house, you know, she's going to get a meal, so I always feed her and this and that. Well, she was telling me how, you know, like the Lord's blessed her and this and that, and how God always blesses her and provides and comes through. Well, apparently she didn't have any money, she was waiting for her paycheck, and they said it was going to be delayed. And you know, she was telling me this, and the next thing I know, we get a knock at the door, and the person runs off real quick, and it was one of those DoorDash drivers, and I don't really use DoorDash, but they dropped off a whole meal for like an entire family, and ran off, and I at first didn't know what to do. I was like, "Well, wait a second, did somebody send this, or is this, I don't know." So anyways, mom picked it up, and she goes, "Well, praise the Lord, I needed some food." And so I told mom, I was like, "Mom, you know, you can always eat here, but anyways, I called the store just to make sure, and they were like, nope, they're like, just enjoy it. We'll figure it out. And so, like, I know it was the Lord just, you know, blessing my mom and blessing her thankfulness, even in a time of not having much, you know. And so me, Micah, and mom all sat at the table, and we enjoyed some chicken salad chick. So, yeah,
praise God. The Lord's good. God is so awesome. I was telling last night, I think it was Brandy brought it up, about David, Deborah, his oldest daughter, had a, let's see, what was it? Oh, the Morris took the potato chips, and she was all bent out of shape about it. They went on a camping trip with the potato chips. She was crying to her mama about it. They took all the potato chips. She said, well, you know how we get things around here. We pray for them. And so she prayed for them. Somebody knocked on the door, and she said, there's my potato chips. There's my potato chips. And sure enough, somebody had brought something over, and there was some potato chips in there for her. So, you know, God is so good. Golly, even to a little child. My gracious. Okay, anybody else? I can tell you my own experience. Is I can't tell you how many times that I've found extra money in my billfold when I needed it, like $100. I'd find $100 here and $100 there, and I didn't have, you know, just a few bucks. And I said, where'd that come from? Oh, thank you, Jesus. And it would be Jesus. One time, he put $500 in there. Because, you know, we give a lot. People in UBM, they give money. They sacrifice to give people whatever they need. You know, the people overseas, they get sacrificed a lot of money from us to them so that they can even eat. And God fixing to bless y'all too. Okay, anybody else? I can't wait. It's going to be so awesome. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's see. Where was I? Five. Is that the last one? That the wise man may hear and increase in learning, and that the man of understanding may attain unto sound counsel. That the man of understanding may attain. What does that mean? Unto sound counsel. Anybody know what that means? Somebody help me out here. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, over there in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, it talks about things written on with ink and then things engraved in stone. But to attain this counsel, It's written upon hearts of flesh with the Holy Spirit of God, as it says there. And that's the way you want it, because that's in your soul now, and it should be used as a reminder for you. It's something the Lord reminds you about. He'll just bring it up when you need it. And that's the wonderful thing about this word that will be written upon your heart with the Holy Spirit. It's in your soul, and it's the fruit that's in your soul. And you can understand the dynamic behind it because you're the temple of the Lord and all that, like I mentioned last time, but it still has to be in there. It comes from the Spirit that's in you, the life-giving Spirit of Christ in you. And from the Father, of course, God the Father gives you this. In chapter 14 of John, it says, if any love me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. So that's, this abode is your is all of the stuff that's in you. Yeah, so that's what the Lord gives you. You know, you can read other people, you know, just by sometimes seeing different spirits on them. And of course, these people with different spirits, if you start talking to them, they'll know you have a different spirit in you. And they'll just give you a negative attitude. You've seen this happen with yourselves, I'm sure. And that's why you have to sometimes use your words very sparingly with the people of the world. So I think that's what that means, actually. So praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Okay, let's move on here. Now, when we come back the next time, we're going to go over it again and see what else we can glean from it. So be sure when you're off to go over this again and again until we understand what the Lord is telling us here. Proverbs 1:6, to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their dark saying. Now, what is he talking about here? Everybody go somewhere. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, to me, you know, when you read through the Proverbs, things that were written in Job, things that Jesus spoke, you know, just go way over your head, you know? They're just like, they're so deep and they're very radical and dark sayings. I can't remember where it is in the Gospels where Jesus said, it's like, you know, no longer will I talk to you in dark sayings or Proverbs. He'll speak to you plainly. Remember that?
Yeah.
So it's like he speaks to them in Proverbs or whatever. It's to the wise, and to the wise and undiscerning can't understand. I don't know, but to understand a proverb and a figure, the word wise and their dark saying is because they're very deep. It's like kind of like deep calling to deep in the spirit, you know, the spiritual understanding of what the Lord's saying. I don't know.
Amen. Well, remember where
hard
this
to understand.
Is. Yeah. So where is our understanding coming from? Yeah. From the Holy Spirit. We have to, you know, ask the Lord, Lord, what is it? What are we talking about here? I don't understand it. And then, as you all know, you can sit there and you can read it, and you can read it, and you can read it. And then you can go on down. You can go on down, and then after a little bit, oh, that's what that means. You remember, y'all ever done that? You come back to us, golly. Well, that's God showing you what's going on. Somebody had to hand that. That was Ben, I think.
I was mainly going to say the same thing that Julie said, you know, also just not taking just the word, but the spiritual behind it as well. Kind of like in our covenant, like back then they had to see the deeper meaning in their own mind, but now we need to see the spirit behind it in our covenant. So that's something else as well, I guess.
The words of the wise and their dark sayings. Go ahead, Julie.
It's kind of like the book of Revelation too, because that's all has to be interpreted in, you know, in the spirit realm, you know, because it's not all, you know, black and white letter, you know, it's not going to happen that way. So,
amen.
It's the Holy Spirit who teaches us.
Yeah. You remember, when Jesus was here and he was teaching them into the gospel, and he'd tell them all, man, y'all just, I can tell you a whole lot of stuff, but you can't understand it, like Julie was talking about a while ago. And the reason they couldn't understand it is because the Spirit of God hadn't come in them yet. But when the Spirit of God came in them, they started, That's what he was talking about. That's what he was talking about. And that's why it's necessary to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That so many people don't understand that. They try to reason with their senses. You know what your senses are, don't you? That's your eyes, you're seeing, you're hearing, you're smelling, you're tasting, and you're touching. That's five of them. And if you don't see them in those senses, it don't make a bit of sense to you. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Because he knows do you have a new spirit? Yeah. You have a recreated spirit. And that recreated spirit is in tune with the Lord. And when you ask the things of the Lord, he's going to pop them down into your spirit. And you'll understand it, you know, after a fashion. We all know that. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. What does that mean? Go ahead, Missy. I had to sneeze.
Well, there's a note there that says riddles. Dark sayings are like riddles.
I was muted. I said, what's a riddle? I'm asking you what a dark saying is. You say it's a riddle. What's a riddle?
A dark saying. oh gosh, it's a riddle. It's just hard to explain it.
It's things you don't normally know, right?
Well, yeah, but it's a riddle is like, I don't know how to explain it. It's not just things you don't know. Like a secret, it's like a secret message or something with little clues or something in it, you know, or something. I don't know.
Well, it's a spiritual thing that you don't understand because you don't have the Spirit of God in you to understand it. Go ahead, Pat.
Oh, obviously, Solomon wrote these proverbs down, and they came from the Spirit of God. And I remember that prayer or a dream. I think it was a dream that the Lord came to Solomon after he became king, and he asked him what he wanted, and Solomon asked the Lord for, basically asked him for wisdom with the ability to discern and give proper judgment to his people. And as a result of that, of course, these proverbs came from that wisdom that God gave him. And so the way I kind of see it is that when he says to understand a proverb, it's interesting. He said, what are the proverbs for? The first four or five verses there, it's what are the proverbs for? And it comes in and says to understand a proverb. So the proverbs are so that you'll understand a proverb. And I guess what I was thinking is obviously our new covenant relationship with God, he's given us the ability to have his Holy Spirit within us, and this understanding or this perspective that God gives us through His Spirit is able to work from within out through our mind, out through our mind, through action and create actions and activity and speech, new seeing, whatnot. But it happens from the inside going out. The Proverbs were given, I believe, that allowed us or forces us to read, to not understand, to take that stuff in from the outside and put it in order to make the adjustments within us or inside of us. It's taking it from the outside and bringing it in. But the end result is the same. The end result is that you mature or attain God's perspective of the world, of life, and of the scripture. And so, I guess this is, you know, this is kind of how I'm seeing the Proverbs here when it says, and to understand a proverb and a figure, the definition of figure is a mocking satire or a mocking poem. So you think, well, why would that doesn't make sense? And the words of the wise and their riddles, which is a enigmatic saying or a saying that is a question that creates a question, creates a not understanding. So it forces you. It forces you to go to God with these varying different questions and darknesses and unanswered dilemmas, so to speak, that the Lord brings upon you and forces you to God to get the answers, you know. And those answers only come as we continue and God opens up our eyes and opens up our awareness. And I kind of think that that's why the Lord wants us to read the first four chapters and read them four times, because sometimes I have to, it's good just to read massive quantities of the word, whether you understand it or not. You just allow it to come in, trusting that it is living. That word is living, and it's coming in and it's washing and it's doing things, whether you feel that it's doing it or not. And it's bringing into you and washing through you, and I'm going to say washing the lack of clarity away, washing the dirt away, washing the sin away, washing the misunderstanding away. And just like time and pressure makes smooth stones out of the rocks in a river, it washes the impurities on a continual basis. And sometimes I know it goes contrary to me personally, because when I start reading, I'll get nailed on a thought on one verse, and I'll stay there, and I'll I'll just milk it for all it's worth. And it sometimes it's hard for me to read the scripture because I get stuck and I want to stay on one verse. And that's why it's so good just to go through kind of at a fast clip and allow it just to come in and do whatever it's going to do and just keep on moving and don't worry about understanding everything. So anyway, that's kind of what I'm feeling.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. Go ahead, Joe.
I would put it a little bit different than to say is to understand the proverb and interpretation and the words of a wise and their interpretation. I would say the proverb, the interpretation of it, and the words of a wise. You can always go, your first thoughts will be usually fleshly, but to understand the proverb and the words of a wise, it usually comes out of a Bible, and that's what the Lord tells us. You have to always go to the Lord to ask for interpretation, to understand. Don't just do it by yourself. That's what I understand. It's always go to the Lord because it's a word of a wise. Either be fleshly or it's going to be spiritual, a word from the Lord. Or a proverb is always going to be fleshly or a word from the Lord. Always ask the Lord what you want to say, what he wants to say at that time for you. That's all I want to say. Thanks.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. That was good. I understood every word of it too. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Julie's up next. Go ahead.
I was just thinking how it says, you know, there are dark sayings, the word of the wise, and there are dark sayings. Well, dark to me is just hidden. You know, it doesn't have light. It's void of light, and light is the truth, and light is revelation, and so it's dark sayings. And did Jesus spoke in parables? I think somebody put something in the chat there about these are parables. You know, the dark sayings are parables. And that's how he spoke to the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, you know, the religious leaders, because they didn't have ears to hear. They didn't understand that those things were hidden from him, from them. But he gave the understanding to the disciples later, right? He taught them later what they meant. So it's this dark. And doesn't God hide himself, you know? It's kind of hidden from us, hidden in a way, but we're told to seek him out.
Amen. He does. Yeah. Somebody put up there. Let's see. Monroe did. Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the armor of kings to search out a matter. Amen. We search it out how? By asking the Lord. Let me think here. Well, anyway, I'll think of it in a minute. Go ahead, Andrew.
It's a question within the question where it says the word figure. That same word is in the numeric English New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, that these things are figures for the future, for our admonishment, upon whom the end of the days come. And why would God tell the story of Moses in the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So that would be an example for us as there would be some hidden knowledge in there, perhaps about the wilderness, as we're told, and you know, when they sat and ate and rose to play because they made themselves another god of gold, so they can do what they want now. So they don't have the true God anymore. So there's hidden things in there. And, of course, it's supposed to instruct us on our wilderness walk also. So that I was just asking that question. Is that a part of that figure and the hidden, the dark sayings? You know, it would be a dark saying to someone because they would read that and they'd say, well, what's this story about Moses doing here? And he's telling the Greeks to it about it, you know? So that's what I'm bringing up there is, there's some sayings in those verses, those first 11 verses that, is that what they mean about, to understand a proverb and a figure, which would be an example also, and the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So that's my question. Would that apply to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the first 11 verses? As an example.
Well, what is that? I'm sorry, I was sneezing.
Well, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you know, some people say, well, you know, all the Old Testament is already fulfilled. So what's it doing? What's the Old Testament doing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you know? For I would not, brethren, have you ignorant that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. You know, that would be a good saying for the Jews that are there. But I'm sure there were Greeks that were there too. So why is he informing the Greeks about Moses and what happened in the past? And what would we get out of that today, you see, when we read that? So that's what I'm trying to apply to this verse here in Proverbs, where it says about figures and it's just a question. To understand Proverbs and a figure and the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Why do you have that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10? Is that a good example of the answer to that? Because it's, even though they entitle it as a warning against adultery, but we understand that when we go into our wilderness, we're going to meet up with some of this stuff too, some adultery, and people should not, in the attempt, should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So he's giving you a, an example of what happened in the past. And then we all know the 11th verse where it says, now these things happened unto them by, these things happened to them as a figure, which is the same figure, I guess, in the proverb, and were written for our admonishment upon the whom the ends of the ages are come. So the question is, these aren't allegories of, or a story within a story here in chapter 10 of Corinthians. Is that what they mean about Proverbs 1 and 6? Because the word figure isn't there. And the words of the wise and their dark sayings, you would have a person who, for the first time, would read the Bible and they would ask that question. Why is all this in here? Because especially if they're not learned at all, you know, why would you put this in here? You know, a person would not deduce the baptism for that first verse or the baptism of the Holy Spirit in that first verse. Is that what this means? To understand a proverb and a figure and the words of the wise and their dark sayings. I'm just trying to apply an application on how we see things in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, talking about the baptisms and our new journey in the wilderness, how some of that might parallel today, too, in those 11 verses for our wilderness journey. You get what I'm saying?
I think I do. I'm not real sure, though. You're trying to apply 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 to this verse in Proverbs also?
Well, it's just all the verses from verse 1 to 11.
Yeah.
These would be a dark saying if someone just out of the blue picked it up and they'd say, well, what's this doing in the New Testament? They're talking about Moses' day, you know? And yeah. That's the way the worldly person would think, you know?
Yep.
The same way, you know, they would read Matthew and they'd say, what's Matthew 1? Why is this lineage here? You know, they wouldn't understand why God would put the lineage in Matthew chapter 1 from Abraham to Jesus. You know, of course, I don't know really why myself, but I do know that the New Testament was originally written for the Jewish people. So, yeah. But these are some of the questions some people might have, you know, if they'll read Matthew and they say, hey, what's this doing? You know, Jewish people are shocked to see that in there when they read Matthew chapter 1. Jewish converts, that is, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway. So.
Well, the only thing I can say on this, of course, you know what he's talking about in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. That's the allegories of the Old Testament as applied to what's happening in the New Testament. And that can be some of this also from Proverbs 1 through 6 also. I don't know. To me, that's a Holy Spirit question. Everything, as somebody so aptly put it while ago, I'm meeting with Joe. Oh, look at that. Joe's got his hand up. He probably got the spot on answer. Go ahead, Joe.
No, I don't have the answer. What I was thinking is that's why it's always told in the Bible not just to pick one or two verses. You have to do an interpretation of the whole Bible. If you don't understand the whole Bible, you can't make up your mind what to believe or what not. There's always things you're not going to understand. Just put it on a shelf. It's not putting it away. Just understand. Ask the Lord later about it. Why is this here? Why is this there? So it's not an answer. I just want to say it's always put the whole Bible, put the whole Bible together. That's all of Jesus. If you just pick and choose, you won't understand. That's why they said it's a princess to seek it out. You always have to ask the Lord about his word. It's his word for you. What he wants to say to you at that moment in time is this. Not just make up your own mind or what do you think is it. So don't think natural, think spiritual. Because I'm spiritual. You're in a spiritual kingdom of spiritual people. I'm a spiritual king. That's all I want to ask for him. Thank you.
Amen. So that's why it's necessary for us to be studying the whole word then, right? So we get an Amen. Understanding of the whole thing. And that's why the Lord tells us to stay in the word, stay in the word, keep in the word, stay in the word. I read something one time, might have come from Murray, I believe it was. He said, open the word. And when you read the word, it's just like Jesus talking to you. Just imagine Jesus right there talking to you. Because he is the word, right? When you start doing that, you start asking, you know, Jesus, you wrote this down here. Help me understand this. But he will. Yeah. Isaiah, 28:10. For it is precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Yeah. All right. Anybody else? As Joe so aptly put it before, said that the way to get to those dark sayings, and I think Andrew mentioned it also, and other people. The way to get to those dark things is just simply ask the Lord. Pray and ask him. That's what I try to do when I start reading the Word of God in my quiet time. Lord, open up the Word to me and give me these revelations that you want me to see that are going to help me. And that's what he told us to do, right? He told us to ask, to seek, and to knock. And he'd open up the things to you. Anybody else on these 1 through 6? I think, what's today, Tuesday? I think Thursday when we come in here, we'll know a lot more about what we're talking about here, these first 6 verses. All right, let's go to number 7 right quick before we run out of time here. This is a good thing. This is just, I know what it was I was going to tell you a while ago. I can't remember who it was that went to heaven and came back and told about seeing Solomon in heaven. I don't remember who that was. Anyway, he saw Solomon in heaven, and he was in the lowest place in heaven. And he was sitting there talking to Solomon, and he said, Solomon, you were one of the wisest kings ever was before Jesus. And what happened? He said, the knowledge that I had was given to me. In other words, instantaneously, he had that knowledge. It was from God. The knowledge that we are getting also comes from God, but it might have been Odin Hedrick, I don't know. But we have to search it out first. You know what I'm saying? We meditate on the Word. We get that knowledge and that wisdom by reading and studying the Word of God and asking the Lord, going through all of that process to get it into our spirit. Whereas his was just instantaneous. He had it. That's what he said. Now, if you think about it, kind of makes sense because he just took it for granted that he's going to have a smart saying, you know. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. All right, let's see. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I'm going to stop right there. What does that mean? Yeah, Patrick.
It's the beginning of knowledge because all knowledge comes from the Lord. And out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding, etc. I think that's the next few proverbs up. But without that fear of the Lord, you're not in receiving mode. You're not in searching mode. You're not in receiving mode. You're in expressing or giving mode. If that's, it's, I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. Fools that believe there is no God in their heart, they despise wisdom and instruction. The last part of that same verse. They despise it because knowledge and understanding or instruction has to come from others. And if there's not the humility to receive, then it's considered more of a threat or something. I guess it's kind of where I'm thinking. Anyway, the very beginning of receiving, I'm thinking of scripture says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will lift you up in due time. Or God gives grace to the humble and what is it? Rejects the proud or something like that. So the fear of the Lord sets us in proper perspective to receive. So that's all.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Did you know that all the great inventions were made by people of Christian faith? All the great inventions were people of Christian faith. I didn't know that.
Or people that were highly influenced by that Christian faith.
Yep.
I might add.
If it was a nation, a Christian nation, so to speak, then that's the nation that was doing the inventions. That's what I mean, a state or whatever. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Joe.
I would say, the fear of the Lord, that is a gift from God, the beginning of wisdom. It also says in Job 28:28, and unto a man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. So, but if you don't have the fear of the Lord, because only get it from God, and that is a gift. Not everybody has the fear of the Lord. Somebody just says, oh, don't worry about that. You have to have a fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of understanding, to seek God out, to seek what he's understand and have a relationship with him, to understand what is the fear of the Lord. That's all I want to add. Thanks.
Okay. I understood some of it. Let me think here. I was thinking about Nikola Tesla. He had some Christian upbringing. I don't know if he was full-fledged Christian or not, but he always gave credit to the Lord. Those things that he, probably one of the greatest inventors of all time, he gave a lot of the credit to the Lord. You know, he'd say, well, I'd go to bed thinking about something and I'd wake up and I'd have the answer. Who is that? That's the Lord. Praise God. All right, anybody else? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. How many of you know you're smart if you have a reverential fear of the Lord? You know, there's a difference in fear, terror, and reverential fear. Yeah, Patrick. I mean, Andrew, sorry. Go ahead. I've called about everybody, haven't I?
Yeah, it's there is a very good example of fear of the Lord would have been Job when he lost everything. And then what he said, naked I came into this world and naked I live, I'll leave. Or he said that the Lord tested him with this. And he had the fear of the Lord for this. He didn't say something bad about the Lord. And, just with that, you know, we know who the devil took advantage of people, the Sabines and the Chaldeans, to attack Job too. So, knowing God's sovereignty, you should have some fear of the Lord also. Because we know that everything that has happened in this world has to go by God's throne for it to happen. And he tries to teach us lessons, I think, through some of these things that happen. That's what he did with Job. Anything that ever happened in your life too is, from the Lord. He's got it all detailed out. The good and the bad stuff. So, you have to have that fear of the Lord. He's omnipresent. He knows everything that goes on in your mind. And kind of a fearful thing. Makes you kind of wonder about why they used to call them Quakers too, you know, because they had a fear of the Lord on them sometimes. And it's really needed. It's part of you. It's within you. It's in your lamp. The fear of the Lord, I believe, is a light that's in you. Because it'll like it says, it's the beginning of, I know it says that in another place that it's the beginning of wisdom, and here it's the beginning of knowledge also. So, you know, they're attached. I think it's part of your light that the Lord shares with you and gives to you. It's a blessing to have the fear of the Lord. And it's very, I was told once, and I never collated it, that the fear of the Lord is pretty closely attached to this love, the obedience you want to have for the Lord, like a reverence you would have for a father or a parent, you know, that's just what I'm saying, you know, that, as an example, a parallel. Praise God.
Well, a fear of the Lord, in my humble estimation, is being fearful of making the Lord unhappy with me. I don't want to make the Lord sad with my actions, because I love him that much, or we all love him that much, and we want to please him more than we want to please ourselves. That's where God wants us, right there, where selfishness has no platform in your life. Jesus was completely unselfish. He loved everybody. They call him love. He is love. Okay, let me just go see what Mim needs. Go ahead, Mim.
I kind of want to add on to that is, okay. There was a video that I listened to because I didn't understand that I had to fear God but love him. So there was a video that you guys obviously did. And it was some other guy. It wasn't you or David that was talking, but he said I don't fear sin, but I fear the separation that sin does that separates from me and God. I fear the separation from God. Because when I know that I'm separated from God, there's no meaning to my life. And that kind of just changed my whole perspective. And so if I fear God, then deep down, he gives me the grace to love him. And that's why I fear him, because he's given me that love and he can take it away with that separation of sin. He's going to follow his word better than his name, better than his own authority, because it says that somewhere. He's going to follow his word over his own name. And so he's everything that he does is justified, and he gives us that fear and that love. And that's why he's so fearful. But at the same time, he's so graceful and merciful. That's why we love him. And that's it. Anyways, I'm just talking in circles now.
No, you're making some good sense. Go ahead, Julie.
Just to add on to what you were saying is, you know, is to, you know, you love God and you want to make him happy and you don't want to do anything that would, be displeasing to him. And there's, you know, I don't know how many times that where it says about, to depart from evil and do good, you know, and that's God's grace. He even puts that in you that you want to, you want to do good. You want to depart from, you know, evil ways and the old ways, and that's God's changing us and stuff. But that's the fear. I believe that's part of the fear of the Lord too, is he's God, you know. To know that he is God. Be still and know that I am God. His sovereignty. His power. Amen.
I believe. Go ahead, Andrew.
I guess what I was trying to get across is the fear of the Lord is it's going to project you to love him, to have reverence for him, to honor him. He's an almighty God, and yet he's also the Father. So the fear of the Lord is from the Lord, but it's a fear put into you. It's a trembling. It's an awe. It's a wow thing too, that would make you want to do the fruit of the Spirit. And the first fruit of the Spirit is love, agape, obey. It's a motivation into the love. It's not the first thing. It's not a trembling fear, but it could be that the quaking is a warning for you too. Maybe that's what they were getting. Moses feared and quaked when he went up. Many of the prophets did. And when Paul went to, Peter went to, no, it was John. John fell at his feet, and he told him to get up in Revelation 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. He said unto me, see that you do not so, for I'm thy fellow brethren and of thy that hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. So a significant part of him falling at this person's feet was a sign of worship. That's what I mean by fear, you know, that the eminence of it all, the highness of God, the exalted one, the almighty, powerful God is to be feared. Like, people don't have any fear of the Lord. And he is holy. Holiness, yeah, that's probably the word I'm looking for. Holy in fear. Holy fear of God, yeah.
All right, Geneva, go ahead.
Something that came to my mind that I was thinking about, I heard David talk about it, or on one of his teachings, he said, you know, when Jesus asked Peter, you know, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter answered twice and said, you know, he phileos him. And that, you know, phileo is the friendship, love, or whatever. But what Jesus was wanting was the agape love, the obedience, that you love your Father so much that you're going to be obedient to him because you fear him. And because that's the ultimate love, is to be, you know, to be obedient. And, anyways, it just makes me kind of think about that, how it goes hand in hand. And it was pretty significant, I thought.
Amen. Thank you, Geneva. Go ahead, Lana.
I was reminded of this common pattern that we see in children, that they tend to love and respect the adults who set boundaries and give them a reason to fear, versus the adults that pat them on the head and constantly compliment them and never say no to them. I was like that as a child. I respected and loved many, many older people, especially elderly people, because I knew where I stood with them, whereas younger people were, led by emotions. And one day they're complimenting you, and the next day I'm like, Mom, aren't we friends with these people anymore? You know, and no, they no longer come around. And so, yeah, that's what I wanted to share.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, we're out of time already. Lord, we just thank you for these wonderful proverbs that you've given us. Lord, open up the doors for us in these four chapters here to understand the Lord in a way that you want us to. And I thank you for that, Father. Lord, give us a good night's sleep or good days of work everywhere we are in the world. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in us. And bless everybody. All the pregnant women, we thank you, Father, for blessing them all in UBM. In Jesus' name. That they don't have any hard days. There ain't going to be no hard days. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that, Susanna, is that right? Geneva's.
Yeah, Savannah.
We thank you, Lord, that that baby's alive. We praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that, the good report's coming. And as a matter of fact, when she calls, Geneva's gonna shout for joy, because she already knew it. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. All right. Y'all be blessed, you hear? See y'all. See some of you in the morning.
Right.
Right.
Love y'all.
Hey, buddy. Bless you all.
Love y'all.
Good night. Love y'all.
Love y'all. Good night.
See ya.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
God bless everybody. Love everybody.
Good night.
Yeah.